I don't know that anybody's supposed to give thanks for a bad report from the doctor. It doesn't make any sense to me. But it does make sense to me to remain thankful, to keep my list of blessings stronger than my list of needs. You know, in Nehemiah, it's kind of a, to me, it's an awkward part of a story. It's in chapter 11, the end of chapter 11, and all of chapter 12. It has this reoccurring theme. There were people that were assigned to give thanks to God. What do you do for a living? I give thanks. I give thanks. Yeah, like, what does that look like? Well, they just give me a list, and I stand before God, and I say thank you. And I mentioned what we're thankful for. That sounds so formal and so ritualistic that there's no life in it. And yet there is a secret in that routine. You bypass the limitation of your own emotional condition. And you make mature choices which activate your emotional condition to get into line with what you're doing. See, complaining empowers the inferior to undermine your faith. Complaining only happens when we are more mindful of a problem than we are of God. It's impossible to complain when you're more aware of the goodness of God than you are of a problem. You actually violate, to do that, you'd have to violate your conscience, your sense of purpose, your sense of being, the sense of God's presence. You have to violate all of that just to start complaining. I'm glad I've never done that. I says rejoice always. That means, like, in the original language, always actually means always. Just always. Just you know, no matter what happened, choose joy. Well, I don't feel like it. That's why it's a choice. Do you think he would have to command it if we did it naturally?
Yeah, that's good.
The only reason it's a command is because here's a chance for you to flex a muscle. You said you want to grow. You said you want to carry the weightiness of God into the earth. Here's something you can learn to do. Well, what is it? Well, you're going to miss your flight. No, not that. Not that. I'm taking you deep into my personal life. When I miss a flight, I come up to the gate. This has happened. I've sat on the tarmac forever because they can't find a place to park my plane. And I look at my clock. I go, my other flight's boarding right now. Boy, am I thankful. Boy, am I feeling rejoicing right now. And I just sit there for a half hour while my plane boards. And we're just sitting there on the tarmac. And then I notice my plane. And then the one I'm on finds a place to park. My first response is not rejoicing. And I've got to admit to you, it's not my second either. It's rejoicing is like way down the list. I've got to experience a few other things first. I've got to explore the emotional tundra before I end up in rejoicing when that happens to me. Ugh. When somebody passes you on a freeway, no problem. You go as fast as you want. Not a problem for me. Pulls in front of you and then slows down. It's not a big deal. It's just wrong. It's just wrong. Have they no conscience? Where's the conviction of the Spirit of God when we need it? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice always is choosing joy. It's actually, it wouldn't be commanded if it wasn't within the reach of a choice. Joy is the part of the kingdom. So it's at hand. It is always within reach. I'm a powerful person. Say this with me. I am a powerful person. Joy is always within reach.
Joy is always within reach.
Joy is always within reach. Pray without ceasing is kind of like the same as rejoice always. Without ceasing means just always. Just pray and don't stop. Interestingly, Philippians says, I'll just quote it to you. Make reference to it. Philippians 4, verse 6 talks about supplications and prayers. That's the earnest getting before the Lord, contending with God for a breakthrough. And he says, with thanksgiving. Why? Thanksgiving creates the context to keep prayer on focus. I mean, I know this is a dumb question because all of us would say yes, but how many of you want to have effective prayers? Of course we do. We don't pray just to, you know, we're not running on a treadmill just trying to cover the miles. We want to bring impact. Our heart is to bring change, to see it in our own lives, our families, our world around us. We want to see things take place because we've prayed. Thankfulness is what helps to keep prayers on target. There are times when I'm praying for somebody, ministering to somebody, let's say they're sick. Let's say they have a certain problem, or arthritis, let's just say, throughout their arm. And I'm praying for them, and nothing's happening, zero breakthrough. And then the Lord will give me an insight of a more precise way to pray. And when I change my prayer from a general prayer of God, heal the arthritis that's in the arm, and I get down to a very specific or precise prayer, then the breakthrough comes. I can't tell you why. But I can tell you this, for me to stand up here and just say, oh, Jesus, please heal everyone in the room today. Amen. We give you thanks. Nothing's going to happen. Why? Because it's got to be more precise. And what thankfulness does is it hones the precision of our prayer life because it keeps it about him, because it is that place of dependency, place of acknowledgement. The strength in prayer is not that you complain or bellyache about a problem. It's that you've joined your heart with his to see his kingdom come and his purposes worked out in the earth. And thankfulness is what keeps us engaged with precision. Wow. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. I don't know that anybody's supposed to give thanks for a bad report from the doctor. That wouldn't be... doesn't make any sense to me. But it does make sense to me to remain thankful, to keep my list of blessings stronger than my list of needs. That's good. How many of you you've ever made a prayer list out? How many of you, if you've not written one, you certainly have one in your mind? I mean, I've got them in my iPads. I've got lists in there of things that I pray for, and, you know, just stuff that I can contend for. I just get before the Lord, God, we've got to see breakthrough. We've got to see breakthrough there. And I believe in it. But how many of you have thankfulness lists? Probably not as many. There's a few, and it's wonderful. But the point is we stay more conscious of need than conscious of blessing. And when I stay more conscious of need than I'm conscious of blessing, I will tend to pray out of a hole instead of from heavenly places. I'll tend to pray more out of a place. Desperation is not bad, so I don't have the best language, so give me a little grace with this. But I will tend to pray out of a place of desperation instead of a place of authority. Thankfulness is what hones that. Take a look at me with 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to read 5 verses. Verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Every creature of God is good, for nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. This is amazing. Here's what he says. Nothing is to be refused. What's the point? Is this not something you bought at the store? What's the implication? What Paul had to deal with a group of people, is they would be invited to somebody else's home, and they would hear they were being served a food that was either unclean, pork or whatever, or it was actually food that was offered to an idol. And here he's giving him instruction. Don't refuse anything that you would determine is unclean. Why? Because that which is used to be against you becomes sanctified by your own thankfulness. Your thankfulness takes the sting out of what the enemy attempt to destroy you. It is now used for your benefit because it is sanctified with prayer in the Word of God. Sanctified. Sanctified is an interesting word because it means separate, separate from sin, separate from darkness, separated to God. But it doesn't stop there. It actually implies that when I am made holy, when I, as I am separated from my own lifestyle to the Lord, it means, it implies I actually become like the one I am separated to. Wow. We should know this just in the natural. Husbands and wives have been married a long time. They start thinking alike. They start acting alike. I mean, there's just this time of just being together where they change because they've been separated from everyone else unto this person. And they actually, in many ways, pick up some of their characteristics and natures. Well, this is even more profound in our relationship with Christ because we are separated from a dark world system that is self-serving unto the Lord. We actually, in the relationship, become like the one we're separated to. Now follow that thought. When you are offered something, in this case, it was food that would contaminate you. With thankfulness, it enables the Word of God and prayer to sanctify that which was released against you and now becomes something that is for you. Thankfulness takes the sting out of something sent your way to harm you. I had a friend, acquaintance, in dialogue with this last summer, was writing a book, at least part of the book, against me and against us. And so I wrote him, and I told him I welcome the book. I welcome it. Not because I think it will add to the health of the body of Christ, but because what I want in life is on the other side of facing difficulty well. Navigating betrayal or criticism. You know, you can't be trusted with praise if you don't trust him with criticism. You can't be trusted with gain if you don't trust him in loss. You can't be trusted with loyal friends if you don't trust him in betrayal. And so while I don't think any of these things are designed of the Lord, I'm going to embrace them and learn how to navigate life through those challenging situations. Why? Because of the prayers I've prayed. I prayed the same scary prayers you've prayed. God, I want to see everyone that we come into contact with healed. I want to see everybody saved in our city. God, we want to see nations discipled. These are huge prayers, but they are not released upon careless people because careless people become preoccupied with themselves in the midst of the glory being manifest, the glory being poured out. And so difficulties come our way. What is it? It's just simply an opportunity to learn how to monitor my heart, to give thanks in all things, rejoice in all things. Pray in every situation, absolute dependency on him. Why? This is what we were born for. And what I want is on the other end of adverse winds. And I've got to learn how to use my sail and the rudder, if you will, to tack until I can make the advancements necessary to get me to where I want to go. So I told him, I said, I don't welcome it because I think it'll help us, but I do welcome it. You know, he wrote back very kindly and ended up a long dialogue that isn't the point of the discussion today, except that he openly repented and changed that particular part of his book. And it's not up for discussion. It's not necessary for today. But the point is being thankful for things that you think the enemy sent your way. It doesn't mean I'm thankful for the book. I am thankful for the opportunity to grow. I'm thankful that if I learn to navigate this right, he can trust me with more. I don't like it. It's not something I'd volunteer for. But I gave up my rights when I said yes. When I said the big yes, I gave up my right to bargain for what kind of circumstances I'm willing to face. And thankfulness is like, man, it's like the number one virtue that changes a person's life. And dare I say, the entire nature of a city. I think thankfulness can change the nature of a family line. Yeah. Amen. All right. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you watched this video. I do pray that it's a great, great strength and encouragement to you. And I've got a verse that really is my cry for all of us. And it's Psalms 20. It's verse 4. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. That's my prayer. That's my prayer, is that this would be the season of rich, rich fulfillment. Thanks for joining us.